Gopidana Vallabha Gidi Varadadi Gopidana Vallabha Gidi Varadadi Yasoda nandana praja jana nandana Yasoda nandana praja jana nandana Kamuna tira vanachadi Kamuna tira vanachadi Deya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Deya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Jaya Radha Shyama Sundara Radha Shyama Sundara Radhe Jaya Gaura Nittai Gaura Nittai Gaura Nittai Gaura Nittai Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Tila, Prabhupada. Jaya Vishnupat Paramahamsa Paravarajakacharya Astata Satasi Simatis Divine Grace Sila Ave Charanaravinda Sila Bhakti Vedan Swami Maharaja Sila Prabhupada Ki Jai Anand Koti Vaishnavarinda Ki Jai His Confounder Acharya Sila Prabhupada Ki Jai Nama Acharya Sila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Premsa Kaho Si Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Sisi Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinacha Shama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Mathura Dham Ki Jai Navadvip Mayapur Dham Ki Jai Ganga Mai Yamuna Mai Ki Jai Bhav Bhakti Devi Tulasi Devi Ki Jai Harinam Sankirtan Ki Jai Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to C.C. Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Krishna. We will continue this morning with our little series of lectures entitled Seeing Lord Krishna's Hand Behind Everything. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We are reading this morning from the 10th canto, chapter 14, text 8. Tat Tenukam Pam Susamikshamano Bunjana Evatmakritam Vipakam Ridvak Vapurbir Vidadan Namaste Jiveta Yo Muktipade Tadayabhat Tatenukampam Susamikshamano Punjana Evatmakritam Vipakam Ritvakvapurbi Vidadan Namaste Jivetayo Muktipade Sadayabhag Tatenukampam Susamikshamano Punjana Evatmakritam Vipakam Ritvakva Purbir Vidadan Namaste Jivetayo Muktipade Sadayabhag. Yes, please chant.
Yeah.
effigies, please. Vipakam Tridva Prabhuvi Viradhan Namaste Jivetra Mukhi Pane Sadaya Adhenu Kampam Jamano Punyaya Evadma Gitam Vipakam Therefore, te your anukampam, compassion, su samikshamana, earnestly hoping for, bunjanaha, enduring, eva, certainly. It's all right. Atma kritam, done by himself. Vipakam, the fruitive results. Rit, with his heart. Vak, words. Vapurbihi, and body. Vidadan, offering. Namaha, obeisances. Te, unto you. Jivita lives. Yaha, anyone who. Muktipade, to the position of liberation. Saha, he, Dayaba, the rightful heir. Hare Krishna Maharaj, welcome. We will do something quite extraordinary this morning. We will take the translation to this verse from the Nectar of Devotion, and also the purport from the Nectar of Devotion, because this is Srila Prabhupada's translation and purport to this verse. My dear Lord, any person who is constantly awaiting your causeless mercy to be bestowed upon him, and who goes on suffering the resultant actions of his past misdeeds, offering you respectful obeisances from the core of his heart, is surely eligible to become liberated, for it has become his rightful claim. This statement of Srimad Bhagavatam should be the guide of all devotees. A devotee should not expect immediate relief from the reactions of his past misdeeds. No conditioned soul is free from such reactionary experiences, because material existence means continued suffering or enjoyment of past activities. If one has finished his material activities, then there is no more birth. This is possible only when one begins Krishna conscious activities, because such activities do not produce reaction. Therefore, as soon as one becomes perfect in Krishna conscious activities, he is not going to take birth again in this material world. A devotee who is not perfectly freed from the resultant actions should therefore continue to act in Krishna consciousness seriously, even though there may be so many impediments. When such impediments arise, he should simply think of Krishna and expect his mercy. That is the only solace. So practical, huh? If the devotee passes his days in that spirit, it is certain that he is going to be promoted to the abode of the Lord. By such activities, he earns his claim to enter into the kingdom of God. The exact verse used in this verse is... The exact word used in this verse is Dayabhag. Dayabhag refers to a son's becoming the lawful inheritor of the property of the father. In a similar way, a pure devotee who is prepared to undergo all kinds of tribulations in executing Krishna conscious duties becomes lawfully qualified to enter into the transcendental abode. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyare Sadarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Let us please read the verse again. Tatenu kampang susamikshamano bunjana evatmakritam vipakam ritvagvapubhi vidadan namaste jivetayo muktipade sadayabhag. And here a slightly different translation. My dear Lord, one who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds and offering you respectful obeisances with his heart, words and body, is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim. This verse offers a very deep insight into some of the secrets of Krishna conscious practice. We have yesterday highlighted already the different elements of the verse, but because it is such an important verse which Srila Prabhupada quotes so very often in his purpose, I would like to briefly go with you again through the elements so that they create remembrance. We can remember it easier when we repeat these. First of all, it says the devotee should earnestly wait for Lord Krishna to bestow his causeless mercy upon him. Secondly, it says the devotee should patiently understand that the things which happen to him in life, which are not exactly what he wanted, has been created by himself. He should suffer them as a reactions of his own past misdeeds. And the third element is he should earnestly and wholesomely offer his respectful obeisances with his heart. He thinks of Krishna with his heart. With the words he praises Krishna, with the body he bows down and offers his obeisances to the Lord. And this simple activity, waiting for mercy, accepting responsibility, and offering obeisances with one's whole being, make one eligible to enter into the kingdom of God. It's very wonderful shloka, a very nice shloka. Today, we will focus our attention on a very important question, which seems so important that Srila Prabhupada has dedicated one very, let us say, private comment in one of his purports. This purport appears in the fourth canto, and I'm sorry, it would be much more enlightening if I could have the fourth canto here and exactly know where this purport is. It was a little less time today to search it. But there Prabhupada repeats a question which apparently has been asked many times to him. Sometimes my disciples come, he says to me, and say, why am I still suffering? I expected to not suffer coming to Krishna consciousness. Since Prabhupada raises the question in his purport, I thought it's a very interesting question for us to deal with today. Why does Krishna, I would phrase the question slightly different, why does Krishna put his devotees through sufferings? You might say there is no philosophical basis for this question, but there is. I will read to you three shlokas which say that a devotee who surrenders to Krishna is free from karmic reactions. Why then these karmic reactions come? One verse is Sakrit Eva Prapanoyas. It is spoken by Lord Rama. It is very often quoted in Vaishnava Yore. It is a shloka which Lord Rama spoke, where he says that he personally protects his surrendered devotees. It is spoken in a very interesting situation. Lord Rama had made his encampment at the ocean side, and he was planning his siege of Lanka. So he was just planning to build the famous bridge from India to Sri Lanka. He was sitting with Sugriva and Hanuman and all the important helpers in his attack scheme on Ravan. Now all of a sudden the sky became dark and a gloomy atmosphere came, and then from within the sky manifested the monstrous form of Bibisan, accompanied by two servants. Bibisan then touched the ground and came towards Rama. Immediately Hanuman ran up to him and Sugriva and wanted to stop him. But Vibhishan had a solemn mood. He said, no danger. And continued walking towards Ram. He paid his obeisances and said, my lord, I wish to surrender to you. Hanuman said, he's a liar! A trickster! An evil pretender! And Sugriva was also quick. He wanted to even accost Vibhishan. But Ram said no. Sakrit eva prapanuyas. Whoever comes to me and surrenders unto me, saying, my dear Lord, from this day on I'm yours, I will give this devotee the courage which he requires for the path of surrender, and I will protect him. This is my promise. This promise was repeated through Lord Krishna, who said this famous verse, which we all know by heart, "Sarva dhamang parijaja," where he says that surrender all your dharmas unto me, and just don't be mental, thinking that, oh, what will happen if I surrender to Krishna? What's about my karmic reactions which will get me unprotected by anything? No, no, Lord Krishna says, I will protect you from your karmic reactions. And each morning, including today morning, devotees chanted, Yani kani cha papani brahma hatya dikani cha tani tani pranashyanti pradakshina pade pade. It's also a sin or karmic destroying verse. I mean, a verse who speaks about the destruction of sin of the surrendered soul. Let me read it in the translation for you. Those who circumambulate Srimati Tulasi Devi step by step destroy whatever sins they have committed, even the killing of a brahmana. So from these and other verses, it seems to be clear that a devotee should not have karma. We should be free from suffering. You shouldn't have a neck problem from these verses. Why then is it that we see devotees cutting their fingers, cutting their legs, even in car accidents, and cutting their minds? What is this? Why do we still experience suffering? Please listen to the very interesting answer, because it might change your whole outlook to life, and your whole life itself, maybe. We understand in our Krishna consciousness that Lord Krishna is behind everything, and it is He who, when someone surrenders unto Him, takes that amount of sinful the karmic reactions from Him. Otherwise, the devotee wouldn't be able to walk on the path of transcendence, if he would be still a kamakazi, a person who is totally dependent on his karma. However, Krishna takes these reactions and then gives them as a token to the devotees, according to need. Now, I want to this word token has been used by Prabhupada. Token reaction, he says. What is a token? I'm sometimes happy that English is not my first language, because I'm always forced to look every unknown word up in the dictionary and exactly get the definition. So token is something like a present or a gift. Now, when do you give a person a gift? You give a person a gift at a very particular time and circumstances. This morning, for instance, I gave a gift of a garland to a woman of our Alachua community, New Raman Reti community, who is just now in laboring pains this morning, and any minute, maybe already now, the baby is there, and the proud father already knows the name he will give to the baby, and he confidentially told me this morning. So there is a present. I would most probably never have the opportunity to give a garland to this Mataji, whom I do not know personally. But today is a special day for her. She should get a gift. It's a very important and very intense service she does at the moment. Childbirth is nothing for beginners. She should give us a token. A gift is given at a special time. So in this, with a special idea in mind, there's a science of giving good tokens or giving good presents. It should mean something for the person. You should have thought about what you give as a token. You don't go into a gift shop and go, Ele, mele, mu, raus bist du. Okay, this is the token. No. You go and you think deeply about it. So Lord Krishna gives the devotee a token reaction. That means a carefully directed reaction, which has a certain purpose in the mind. The purpose is that anattas are removed or addressed. See, the devotee may surrender to Krishna, and it gives him great relief to surrender. But at the same time, there are still remnants of his sinful mentality to enjoy the material world in it. Look at all of us. Look at me, not at you. I'm following the four regulative principles by Krishna's mercy. So the gross sinful activities, which are described, are gone. But inside the heart is still this disturbing taste for, I don't want to be overly, this lecture is not meant to be a confession, it's a spiritual education, hopefully, but there are still the attachments to the material energy. All the things, sexual attachment, attraction, they linger on in a subtle form. Those of you who have lived in India, they know in these rooms which you get, there's always this disturbing, stinking smell of kerosene. The kerosene may not be in the room. It has been removed because kerosene is necessary to have these kerosene or petrol lamps. However, the smell is still there in the rooms, and a sensitive person who is not dead tired has difficulties to sleep in Indian rooms which have this smell. Or camphor comes in boxes, and the camphor may be removed from the box, but the camphor smell still lingers on it. It takes a winter, Sharanagati winter, to really remove that camphor. You have to let the box outside in the winter, and then the snow comes and the ice, and heavy treatment to take it out. It's still then in the summer. Ah, oh, it's still camphor smell. So the heart is similarly of the conditioned soul. We may take away the sinful activities, but the attachment in its subtle form is still lingering on and can sometimes influence a devotee in such a way that he again takes to sinful activities. So by giving the devotee a karmic reaction, a token reaction, Lord Krishna very purposefully directs correction into his way. The Lord, in other words, makes an arrangement to take away the enjoying spirit from the devotee. So that the devotee understands, I understood. There is a song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I finally understood, my Lord. You are the master. And I should surrender to you entirely. So Lord Krishna sends these token reactions to us, which come at a psychologically highly relevant moment, bang, in our lives. And we become educated and say, I understood. This enjoyment really doesn't make sense any longer. I'm so thankful. If this would be a seminar means not a lecture format, I would now request you to go back into your past and remember some of the so-called sufferings which you experienced during that time as something very harsh. And I would request you to then see how, if there were such sufferings, which in retrospect, looking now to the situation, you have seen as something which was very meaningful. In my own life, I can offer one explanation. It was one I came from a Mayapur festival. I was a member of the 50 men committee and came home from this exercise of evaluating the leadership of our society. And I was village boy from Europe, so it was very intense for me to hear so many things. I remember coming back and I had a terrible headache. And I thought, okay, this is from this. I'm just a simple preacher and I shouldn't hear these difficult things. They just burden the mind and soul. And I didn't act upon the headache until I really was on the floor. And I remember I was so sick that the devotees brought me into the emergency ward of the hospital. And they tried to analyze what was the problem. And for one entire week, they could not find the problem. And it was so much suffering, my dear devotees. I couldn't even walk any longer. I couldn't sleep from all this pain in the head. And I remember I was really wasted away and was thinking, this is the end. Of everything that stands the end. And was really thinking this, okay, now you get it. Then one morning, I still remember, the nurse came in with a very relieved and happy smile. She carried a tablet with a monster pill like this. We finally diagnosed what's wrong with you. Typhus. Thank you very much. This sounds very encouraging, I said. No. We have now this monster pill. You swallow it. It will explode in you and the disease will be gone. Thrust this German cannonball. What could we do? And we took it and yes, after the symptoms first went away, one could again sleep and so on. And it was interesting. Just the night before she came in, I had prayed to Lord Krishna and said, "My dear Lord Krishna, I know it is strange. No one knows what's wrong. It must be your way of teaching me something. Please give me the intelligence to understand why I have these symptoms." In my case, it was a headache. Why this symptom is there? You must want to teach me something. Otherwise, this is unexplainable. The Germans all went in and out, the doctors, you know, and this is something for a German doctor to not know what's wrong. This is highly irritating. You know, in and out, scratching the head. I mean, he's dying. We don't know why he's dying. This is a serious challenge to our Germanness. I began to think they don't know what's wrong. They know everything normally. At least they pretend to know everything. But here they scratch their heads. It must be that Krishna, this is Krishna, and I must understand what I have to learn. And that evening, I remember that night, I just understood what I had to learn. And this is too private, and it's also not so interesting for you, most probably, what I had to learn. It had to do with the false ego. More I won't reveal. Upon understanding it, the minute the understanding came, the door flung open and the pill came. The lesson was no longer necessary. The patient had understood what to learn, and therefore Krishna took away that. So this are what is Krishna. This is what how to understand miseries. When something happens to a devotee, it's very, very, very important that he ask the question: what do I have to learn? Why did I get this token reaction? Why this present? What is the intelligentsia behind it? And the moment he is willing to learn, most probably the reaction is no longer necessary. There's another thing the devotee has to do. He has to also seriously, not only understand, which is the thing by the mind, he has to seriously repent what he did wrong. Then the relief can come. See, most of the time, the conditioned response is different. When something happens to us, the response is, why me? Oh, why? Why did you do this? Why did you say it? Why is everything so unfair in this world that I'm always punished, although I'm highly innocent? And so on. But this is wrong. In New Vrindavan, I have told you a German folklore tale. I'm not afraid to tell it here. When a person sits in the bathroom and has produced the human pile, there is no point for him to now complain about the offensive smell. He can't say, why do you do this? This is highly uncultured. It is unnecessary. It is undesired. Why are you so aggressive, you human pile? He has to understand, I have produced it. I have eaten something and digested, and now this is the natural consequence. In the same way, when something happens, we should not point at others so much. We shouldn't point at ISKCON. Only ISKCON is we, it's us. We would have suffered much more in the material world. Here is luxury suffering. Some of us were heavy guys, yes. So there's some luxury suffering. But it is not necessary that we point fingers so much. Of course, there are things which went wrong, awfully wrong, and as a society, it is our duty to take care that we make it the best experience for all of us who are here in this movement. That is on another page, so to say. Yes. So let us not, by just entering the league of the complainers, let us not be, how do you say, miss our chance to learn what we have to learn. The Lord is behind everything which happens to us. He is kindly monitoring the material energy, and He monitors the material energy in such a way that His devotee can be enlightened. I would like to read to you from a lecture which Srila Prabhupada gave in May 2nd, 1974, about this subject. When there is suffering given by Krishna, a devotee does not take seriously suffering. A devotee thinks, it is the favor of Krishna that He has put me into suffering. The devotees never see suffering as suffering. It is favor of Krishna. That is a devotee's vision. It is exactly like a son who knows his father well. If the father slaps, the son never protests. He knows, it is good for me. Similarly, a devotee is never disturbed when there is suffering given by Krishna. Yes? This is a very deep subject matter. It is a very moving subject matter. But I want to encourage you to look next time something happens in your life which is not planned by you and which is in some way not as pleasant as you wish, to see that it is Krishna who has kindly slapped the sun. Peng, a little bit. He won't slap us more than necessary. I mean, only a morbid father will slap his son more than is required and good for him. Krishna certainly takes care to educate us so that we can move towards enlightenment. We all have this enjoying spirit. In Sanskrit it is called kutam. When you do, when the soul comes into the contact with the material energy, he becomes influenced by certain modes of nature, so that a bijam, that means a sinful desire, manifests in his heart. Then he goes to act upon this desire, and he is called papam. And this papam, this sinful activity, has two consequences. One is he gets a reaction for this, and the second is, this is very interesting, it's called kutam, he gets a certain sinful mentality. Let us take a thief as an example. If he does thievery, he begins to get a certain taste. It's exciting to steal. I do not know if you know this. It's highly exciting. Will I be caught or not? For some people it is exciting. Or let us say when we do a sexual activity, it's not that we only get a baby as a reaction. There is also another reaction. We begin to feel in our heart, this is something we should do again and again and again. This mentality to enjoy is deeply engraved by our activities. Therefore, in child education, it's so important to not give the children too much, because it will not be good for their growth in life. You can never satisfy material desires by trying to quench them. You have to deal. You have to purify them if you want to get rid of them. So, in the same way, you can't just think that material enjoyments are just very innocent. You, when they are not within the frame of Dharma, the enjoyments, they carry this let me say, they train you to want to have more and more and more, and get, and they make this kutam, this inclination to sin more and more. So this is so deep and so difficult to remove, this inclination or mentality, or you could say character, enjoying character of the conditioned soul, that that it really requires Krishna's help, and therefore he sends us these token reactions at the proper time so that we can learn something. It's his mercy. Without it, we could not never let go of the material energy. It wouldn't work. We have too much kutam with us, mentality to enjoy. In India, they say, it's more, you know, it's easier to move the Himalayan mountains than to change a character. This is a folklore saying. So, Krishna, this is how to understand suffering. If Krishna would not send us these things, we would most probably not learn to give up our enjoyment spirit, and we would not sing like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, "Now I have understood, my dear Lord. I have understood now." This was today's lecture. I like to really keep it with the subject. Why Lord Krishna keeps us suffering. I would like to request all of you, as you leave the lecture, to maybe, and you have a little time, to think about the following questions. What sufferings did you experience in the past? And then how was it beneficial and good in your, to learn a specific lesson you had to learn? And then what exactly was the lesson you learned for your life? Try to be specific about it. You will see these are very important things which happened to you. Hare Krishna. I have ended now. Kala Kanta Prabhu. Could you, please, I couldn't. Yes. Mediate. Alleviate, yes. Thank you very much for this question. Kalakanta Prabhu has asked a very important question. Thank you very much, Kalakanta Prabhu, because in this presentation this question needs to be asked. How much, asks Kalakanta, endeavor does a devotee make to alleviate the suffering as it comes? Kalakanta Prabhu, here I will give you my own realization on it. I cannot when there is suffering coming, for instance, a disease, there was times when devotees, at least in Germany, didn't take any medicine, and they really became unable to continue service and eventually unable to think of Krishna, because sometimes suffering is, the pain engages all your mind. So there was a letter which we wrote to Prabhupada about taking medicine. I remember this vaguely. And Srila Prabhupada said, "Yes, of course, you must take medicine." I personally have seen in life, it's important to keep yourself in a certain situation of being able to function in your life by trying to alleviate suffering. But on a parallel line to doing whatever you do, you know, fixing your leg when it's broken, or fixing your heart when it's broken, as much as possible. You have to really try to go deep and think, why does this happen to me and what should I learn from it? I think both should be done on parallel lines, because we are not Vasudev Datta, you know, Vasudev the leper, who puts the worms back in his body, you know, and dances, because his consciousness was not disturbed by the suffering, but our consciousness often is too much disturbed by it. So I really think it is necessary, and it is very human, to lick the wound. It's not only a human, even the animal licks his wounds to alleviate the suffering. So that is a human reaction, and it must be done to function as a human being. We have this intelligence, but have you ever noticed that some sufferings you do and you try to alleviate it like anything? You go to a counselor, you ask for money, you get a new car, and it doesn't go away, because you have not done the real work to ask seriously, why is this happening to me? And you may go on in your old ways without changing certain behavior patterns which need to be changed. So on parallel lines we should work. This is my realization. It's a very important question, because it is really a fact, this highly powerful philosophy of taking responsibility for one's suffering and not pointing fingers can sometimes be misunderstood, so that you don't do anything about things which go wrong or which have gone wrong, and then suffer more than necessary. Mm-hmm. Yes, there's another question in the back, Prabhuji. When they have done things, there are certain situations where a parent can suffer the reactions for their children. For instance, when the parent has neglected his duty to educate his child. It's said, for instance, for those who are gurus, when their disciples do something entirely wrong, and the guru has neglected to take the responsibility to educate him, and even go educate him to become free from birth and death, you know, there's a neglect. Then yes, there are, you take part in the reactions. For instance, in the fourth canto, it says, government leaders suffer 1/6 of the sinful reactions of their citizens. You know, this happens when there is a neglect, when they have not done their duty very much. We should tell this to our presidents, you know, please take a little bit care. I have seen the German leaders always become so sick after their leadership. You really become wasted by reactions. I've seen this. Really terrible, because they get all these reactions for neglect. But if there is no neglect on the part of the parent, and he really tried his best, but the child, due to his own situation, has done a mistake, a grievous mistake, then it is the child who takes on the reaction for whatever bad thing has happened. Only in cases of neglect you suffer. Mm-hmm. Dhruva Prabhu. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Rather than Christian external energy,
Yeah, very good question. Very good question. Yes. Dhruva Prabhu has asked another very important question. Because I'm extremely tired from you know, it's an intense service here in Lachua, so much preaching. I will phrase it in a way how I have understood it. I can't repeat exactly. Are we not making all this up? He didn't phrase it like this. That it is Krishna's personal hand and not just the material energy which in a general way inflicts sufferings for all conditioned souls, not just the devotees, for everyone, so that they can eventually move towards service of God. So how can we say or see that this is the personal hand of Krishna? Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. More specific, he has created the whole material world, but when there's something specific personally going on, when Krishna gives a token reaction, this is what is discussed here. Yeah? I have very often thought about this question, and here is again an answer. The logic behind it is we are meant to lose our enjoyment tendency. This is why sufferings come. Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Jiva Dharma describes the material world to be like an anvil. Anvil is the thing which the blacksmith uses. Misery like the hammer, ping, 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 and the living entity like a piece of gold which is banked into shape, ping, ping, by misery. So this is a general thing, but where is the personal thing of Lord Krishna going on? I can only understand it like this, that if you really try to look, why am I suffering? You can see there is a reason now to learn, and you can somehow see the smiling face of Lord Krishna behind the curtain of the event, who has personally given you this misery. I encourage you to look like this through the eyes of faith, and you will understand Krishna is personally behind it. Yes, he's personally behind everything, but he's specifically interested in what his devotees go through. There's a verse in the Bhagavad Gita where he directly explains his, intentions or motivations in relationship to the devotee. Now I've found the good answer. I was fumbling a little, but now I have it. Samohang sabhabhuteshu. I'm equal-minded to all the devotees, to all living entities, but in terms of a devotee, I take a special interest. And there is a very nice purport by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, which says that Lord Krishna is like a kalpa briksha tree to all living entities, whatever they desire. Nityo nityanas chetanas chetananam. The Lord fulfills that since time immemorial, but he makes an exception in the life of his devotee. He doesn't just fulfill the desires of the devotees, but he sometimes says no when it's necessary to say no to teach him. This subject is taken more. Is discussed more in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami writes in the voice of Krishna, my devotee wants the thing for me, but it is not good for him. My devotee is a fool. He still wants to enjoy the material world, but I am not a fool. So I will cause the devotee to act in such a way towards my devotee that he will not ask me again. In other words, he will take the desire, he will free our hearts from desire. So here, Lord Krishna is very personal. Sometimes when you are tired, the brain doesn't work as fast as it should. So, it is now 9:05, but there are so many. Okay, we can just. I will try to answer very quickly. And if you are tired, by the way, you have to push this mama point. It's, you know, in this thing, this little candle in the middle, and then you will not be tired in theory, in Ayurvedic health theory. It's very painful. Good. Our Mataji. Yeah. Our singer Mataji. Yes? Shada. Who? I saw her first, and then you, and then yes. Shada. Yes. Yes. How do we understand what the lesson is? In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, I, dwelling in the heart, out of compassion, give the knowledge by which they can come to me. But you have to ask. You have to ask Lord Krishna, why, and show him your readiness to learn, and then from the heart, will come a certain understanding. Don't we know in our lives that sometimes we know that there is a voice of Krishna teaching us? For instance, you know sometimes intuitively, I should not make contact with such and such persons. And it's always right. So Krishna has guided you so much in your life. Otherwise you wouldn't be where you are now. And I think it's time for all of us to learn a little bit how to evoke the super soul to give an answer. A very good method is that method that Krishna has a weakness. He becomes very loving to those who render devotional service. So you, when you are in a situation and you just don't understand what you should learn from it, give yourself a situation in which you can render devotional service and pray to the Lord, please help me understand. And usually something comes. Another way the understanding comes is very easy. See, Krishna speaks in a certain language. The language is in the Shastra. He speaks through Shastra, through devotees, and through the spiritual master. Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. In this way, Krishna can speak to you. When you just don't understand what you should learn, it's sometimes very good to go with it and to be with devotees and talk with them. Confidentially open your heart and this is my situation. Do you understand? And maybe the devotee will give you an advice and you immediately hear through this advice, but this sounds like Krishna is teaching me through the devotee. I think we all have seen this. Or sometimes you don't understand. You go to the Bhagavatam and you read, and very often, isn't it? We read all of a sudden a passage. I know the Hare Krishnas are bad readers. They don't like to read somehow or other. But if you do, you come on a passage and you feel this is for me. Oops. You go like, talking book. how did you know? It's Krishna is speaking like this. And also, spiritual master is often, it often comes through him. Let us understand the voice of Krishna. We may, sometimes we want that while we walk over Alachua's ground, then all of a sudden a flash, pang! Radha Devi Dasi! And then, of course it would be nice, but we can't force Krishna. Then from a tree a voice manifests. Your lesson is eat less prasadam. or whatever. You know, I'm joking. I was maybe not a polite joke, you know. No, when we are young, we can eat like anything. There is no problem. Good. So, Hare Krishna. Lakshmi Moni. Lakshmi Moni asks very specific about the duties a leader has. And if the duties are not met, then there is consequence. I mean, one has to suffer for the reactions the person does who has not been told by us. So, but she says sometimes it's so hard to correct someone. You even are afraid to say something. Do you then still suffer? Very difficult. I cannot pretend to answer your question in full because it's very delicate. But all I know, there is a way to tell a person. When you can't tell a person personally, then this comes at Vaishnava etiquette. You can go to someone that person respects, and through that someone, he might get the information. Often this helps, but sometimes this is also difficult. I know. Yeah, if we don't tell. I think if it is so difficult to tell to a person, you know, you are doing this wrong, that we have to be afraid to be decaptured, you know, or get any. Beheaded, capital punishment. Then if the person has worked himself in such a situation where he is so unresponsive, doesn't respond to advice, and I can't imagine, you know, we have a merciful Lord that then we get all that sauce for suffering for what the person does. We should try our level best, maybe, to tell it to someone else that I have noticed this. I mean, this person is really doing something wrong, but I can't. Oh, my relationship is already so strained. If I tell this now, first the devotee wouldn't be benefited because he would immediately protest, and I fear for my fear that he will get very temperamental at me and revengeful. So. Can you not say something if you have noticed something? If you also noticed this, I think that then your duty has been done. Even if the person feels, I also can't tell anything. Hare Krishna. You can pray to Krishna. Please, you can tell everyone, and you tell everyone. You please do. This is, you know, I often do it. I come into these situations also. Just before leaving to Germany, we lost one. There was one temple who got into this Ritvik philosophy with all the vent and heaviness and so on. And I was called just a few hours before my plane went to please try to talk to the devotees there. And I said, this requires to sit down, to build up trust, and then talk about the philosophy, because often there are so many personal issues involved in when a devotee takes a philosophical stand, which is a little different. You have to really, and I don't have the time, my flight leaves. But no, you have to do. Then I said, I will do something. But don't ask me what. Then I went to the deities and just prayed. I have no time, and I'm also not a very good talker about these subjects. You please take care of this. And only 2 hours later, I received a phone call. Said, nothing is there any longer. They have seen that there was some misunderstanding. It has been clarified, and it is all over now. You can peacefully fly to America. I think it was Krishna who took care. Madhumati. This is the last question, by the way, so that no one gets restless. Yes. Madhumati, I don't know much about you, but what I know is you are a wonderful devotee. This is really, I'm not saying it to flatter you or to escape the answer. It's very obvious to one just needs to look at you during kirtan, and one knows he is a wonderful devotee. But still the question is, yeah, but why don't I recognize that it's a token if I get a token? Usually when you get a token, you know, oh yes, thank you. It's very three-dimensional and very clear. And for me, it's not clear. So maybe I have not gotten any token this year. It's very difficult for me to answer this. Can I answer this question in a personal way? It's not, because you asked a very personal question, and I want to give you a personal answer, because you have even written me a letter with a personal question. So I can't answer in a public forum, because it would be too private. You wouldn't feel well if I would give such an answer. I can only say in a general way, if you do not recognize that Krishna takes care of you in some ways, if in some ways you think everything stays the same, you must learn to ask Krishna in a way so that Krishna gives an answer. And that, to my mind, is you must approach, you know, you must read the scriptures. Are you reading in an answer searching way, in a prayerful way? Are you talking with devotees? How do you see me? What should I improve? Give some feedback, please. I think if you would do that, then the answer will come. I can't imagine that Krishna is silent, especially not in your case. This is all I can answer in a general way. When I'm your guest at your house, with Shesha, when Shesha Prabhu is back, then I will try to answer more specifically. I would think I have already prepared an answer, but this is too personal for the public. So let us end here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gaur Nitai ki jai, Sisi Radha Shyam Sundar ki jai.
Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.